The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The Essentials, serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. Good evening and welcome to The Essentials. I am your host, Hubert Edwards. And this evening, we are going to have ourselves ease the conversation. In the last couple of weeks, we dealt with issues around economics. We did the economic roundtable the week before, and we had a replay last week. And so this week, we're just going to take it, you know, very easy. Have some discussions, talk about how do we deal with choices? How do we cope in an environment where things are challenging? How do we manage our own selves? How do we get to the place where we deal with our own frailties, our weakness, the areas of our lives which may be criticized by others? When we get feedback, when we get critique, sometimes it hurts, sometimes it burns, but the question is, are you going to use that flame, that heat, that burning to cause you to become a better person, to forge a stronger you, a better you, a more purer you? Or are you going to simply allow it to burn you to nothingness and become a lesser version of yourself? We just got past International Women's Day. I think that was yesterday. And so we will celebrate with the women a little bit this evening. We have a song lineup for you from Shaggy, Strength of a Woman. And, you know, we're going to do that. We're going to play some other songs and kind of just a bit, little bit reflect on those. But I want us this evening to take a moment to step back from our daily happenings, because we can get busy. We can really get so busy that we forget to reflect. We forget to introspect. And then, having reflected and introspect, we become busy and refuse to understand and implement those things that we have learned, or those things we have become aware of, or those conclusions that we have drawn, those commitments that we are pushed to through that introspection and reflection. But like life will have it, when you're going through the fire, when you're going through the flame, when you are in the moment, oftentimes you're in survival mode. You're thinking about the flame. You're thinking about how you're not going to get burned. And so all of this discussion that we may have about being rational in our thinking, we must appreciate that it doesn't come easily. It doesn't come as a natural output from that whole thinking, because, you know, our brains are designed to keep us safe. And even in our thought process, just in our thinking, as soon as we push ourselves into that zone of discomfort, where we are uncomfortable, our brain starts to remind us, don't go there. Find a place to retreat, find a safer place, find a cave in which you can hide. Because that doesn't represent the place you want to be. But one thing I've learned over the last couple of years, certainly during the last 2 or 3 years, is that there's no way around the fire. The fire is burning, and that is fire being metaphor for the challenges that you will have in your life. There's always going to be fire. There's always going to be something else. There's always going to be some sort of upheaval. There's always going to be lacking. There's always going to be wanting. There's always going to be just something more. And the question I have for you this evening is, how do you deal with the fire? How are you treating it, or how are you allowing it to treat you? How are you being treated by the flame, by the heat? Because fire is such a powerful thing, such a powerful thing. It has the ability to burn you to a crisp, and then it will leave you to the wind to blow you away to nothingness. Or it has the potential to purify you, to rid you of the things which are not of value, the impurities. If we use an analogy with gold, when you burn a piece of gold, the big lump or the big block of gold you may have in your hand is simply not just pure gold. There are other chemicals in it. There are other elements in it. And the application of fire, the application of heat, allows it in the first instance to melt. In the process of melting, it disabuses itself of the impurities, the other chemicals, the other elements. And it changes its form. And then it cools down. And in that process of change form, where it's now almost like liquid, it gives the handler the potential to reshape it. Same piece of gold. Having burnt, it may be less in volume, but gold nonetheless. So it's lesser in volume. All of the baggages, all of the things which was kind of making it not as valuable, has been burnt off. Smaller in quantity, maybe to the eye, to the trained eyes, or to some scientific weighing or measuring. But also, and very importantly, or maybe I should say most importantly, it is now purer. It's not the same thing. Before the application of heat, before the application of the fire, it was gold mixed with many other things. Having done that, having applied the heat, having applied the pressure, having applied the fire, having melted it, making it more malleable, shapeable, it's different. But importantly, it's pure. And that's kind of the parallel we want to have with this discussion this evening. So we entreat you to join us. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4259, 325-4316, and our text line 422-4796. We would love to hear from you. So where are you? And my starting point for this thinking this evening came from two simple statements. And these two simple statements, and it could be melded into one, is in life you have two choices. You know, persons out there are going to argue with me that there are more choices, but for the purpose of this discussion, we are going to limit it to two choices. So in life you have two choices. You can go through that fire and you can, one, allow yourself to be burned and withered away, or you can allow yourself to become purified and forged into a stronger version of yourself. So when we listen to all that is happening around town, if you follow this show, you know that a lot of times we're talking about economic issues, we talked about current affairs and things generally which is happening in the country, within the Caribbean region, and on a global level. And if we take very, very careful analysis of what's happening in the news, we listen to what's happening down in Haiti, we see things happening in the United States, there are upheaval happening in other parts of the world. Ukraine is still being bombarded, there's a war taking place between them and Russia. And any number of issues, there's a big discussion taking place in the United States now on the right to abortion, access to abortion, all of these issues in the United States. It's the conservative versus the liberals. But even right here in our country, we see discussions around persons discussing this issue of how do we govern? Effective governance. We see rulings coming out from the court as it relates to the operation of political parties. We hear the incumbent party, the administration, put forward its 6 months mid-year budget and, of course, its fiscal strategy report. And we see all of these things happening. And then we hear about what's happening with the National Insurance Board. And mixed in all of these things is a sense that sometimes all is not well. We now hear rumblings from the dealers, the owners of gas stations, service stations. They're seeking to get an increase in their margins. That don't spell any type of a good news for the consumer. So there are any number of things happening. In the meantime, you have to send your children to school, you have to work, you have to find money for the bills, you have to do any number of things as you seek to chase your dreams. You're coming up on issues of sickness and health, disappointments, being fired, any number of issues. And the question is, how do you deal with these matters? How do you use them as metaphorical fires to forge a stronger you, to purify your soul, to make you that more prepared to go the distance? Or do you simply say, well, you know, there's nothing I can do about this. I'm just going to go over and die. Sure, you're not like that. Certainly, if you listen to the show, then you are, in my mind, the people who listen to the show are going to be champions. Persons who want to succeed, persons who will succeed regardless, as long as it's moral and ethically possible. And legally. As long as the way you are going to achieve it is done in a righteous manner. That's the kind of people I like to associate with, and I'm sure and I'm hoping that you are that type of individual. But do you give up? Do you give up? You know, over the last couple of months, I have personally experienced some significant upheaval. I often move around and I listen to colleagues, and, you know, sometimes they'll greet you. And persons like to greet you in ways which say to you that you are kind of in a better position than you are. Nothing is wrong with that. Sometimes you need to take inspiration from that, because maybe they see in you a possibility that you have not yet achieved, and you know you have not yet achieved it, but maybe it's there. But oftentimes, persons overstate other persons' state of affairs. But it's no matter that you have walked up on some significant obstacles. These happen all the time, have been happening since man walked this earth. And it is going to continue to happen long after we have gone from this earth and other men continue to walk. So it's no big thing, no sense running up and down, even though oftentimes we cry. I cry too. Sometimes if someone will spend a minute, I will lament them, and no lament them. I'm very particular who I share information with. But we all do it. But kind of my message, kind of my story this evening, kind of the conversation I'm seeking to have is, how can we leverage these moments? How can we ensure that we take these moments and make them into something which fuel us to become better? We have to become stronger. We have to become more courageous. And one of the first place to start, I believe, in all of this is to embrace your vulnerability. We must embrace our vulnerability. There's absolutely nothing that we can do or we can say to ourselves. We can walk around and we can brag. We can be very, very confident, and that's fine. But until and unless you're willing to embrace your vulnerability, knowing that there are certain things which can break you, there are certain things in which you're weak, there are certain areas which you need more information, which you need help, which you need support, until you are willing to humbly embrace that, you're going to live a very fearful life. You're going to live without the confidence that you need. Because often we see persons running around and we say, look at that one, he's very, very confident. And sometimes we call them arrogant. And oftentimes these things are sad, created to hide their true vulnerability. Some persons will not show that. But the moment you allow those things to fall away and embrace your vulnerability, ask for help, ask for assistance, tell someone I don't know, or by your conduct demonstrate that you don't know and you're willing to know. Teach me, help me, show me, mentor me, guide me, support me. When these things happen, you now set yourself, no guarantee, but you now set yourself in a position and possibly on a path to become a better you. You have to go through the fire. And my admonition to anybody out there is, don't try to run away from your moments. Don't try to run away from your moments of talent. They will catch up with you somewhere down the road in a different version, and maybe at a point in time where either you are weaker and therefore you can't manage, or at a point where the opportunities are so much more magnified and you have so much more to lose. So in this moment, it's always about dealing with them, because they represent preparation for the future. Some of the big things is going to come down the road. So it's almost like an individual who goes to the gym and lift weights, right? So you start at 10 pounds and you get to 15 and you get to 20. When you go down the road and you kind of buck up in a 15 and a half or a 20 and a half challenge, you'll be able to lift it. The preparation combined with adrenaline and the desire to succeed will have you moving mountains. You will do it. But if you had not started in the first instance of overcoming the fear of lifting that 1 pound, of being vulnerable, going into the gym, let's say you're a man and you go into the gym and a lot of ladies are around and you go pick up that 5 pound because you're just too ashamed, right? You can't let ladies see you doing that. Or you can't let anybody see you do that because they will say you're weak. But if you can admit to yourself and be willing to show the world that, yes, I am weak, but I am going to do the things which are necessary to make me strong. And I don't care what you think and I don't care what you say. Come check me in 3 months. Come check me in 1 year. And you will see the difference. Because those same persons who might, some of them are highly likely to criticize, admonish, even to the point where they want to chastise you. Like, you know, how could you grow to become whatever height you are, whatever age you are, and can't lift up 1 pound? They'll chastise you as if they have a right to. You know, they were put in the world for that type of a purpose. Those same persons, properly ignored, and you stay focused on your business of lifting, will in the future celebrate you, whether they want to or not. If they don't celebrate, they will have to acknowledge that you are now stronger. So you want to embrace your vulnerability. And you want to admit the fact that you have fears. Because everybody does. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how connected you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how comfortably you look. You are afraid of something. You have some fear in your life. The main difference between most of us and some other persons is that they have little fear, little bit, maybe a narrower group of fear. But nonetheless, because the quantum is smaller, it doesn't mean that the extent is less. Because, you know, think about the name slips me, the guy who owns Twitter. I should know the name, but think about those guys and Bezos and them. They have some fears which we don't concern ourselves with. They want to get a craft into space. They want to get a craft into space. So then I will start. They now are thinking about things which are different. I am simply wanting to drive from point A to point B and no car hit me. Now they're thinking about getting a craft off the ground, up there, hitting no asteroids, so on and so forth, getting people up there and getting them back. And they may be fearful about it, but they're doing it anyway. So even if you're operating at what many of us would consider to be at a higher level in life, where the billionaires play, there's always going to be fear. But you have to face them. You have to first admit that you have fear. Now, not all of us are very comfortable. Some of us are, you know, like super private, uber private. I'm one of those persons. You won't see me running up and down and telling Dick, Tom, and Ari that, hey, I'm fearful about this. But there are persons who I trust. There are persons who I have great confidence in. And I'll share those with them. I'll share them with my children easily. I share it with my family easily. Because it's important as a part of the learning process for them to understand that, look, while you may see this tough outer looking veneer very often, below that there is a churning taking place. And as you grow, as you become an adult, you're going to experience some of those. So you need to understand this. You need to start learning in that particular direction. So once you embrace your vulnerability, admit to your fears, now you need to take the next step. You need to face your fears, because no good saying, well, I'm afraid of that, or I don't, you know, I'm just really, really concerned that this might not happen. You know, I'm going to miss this opportunity. That dream I have is not going to come through. It doesn't make sense that you do that and stop there. You now have to face it. I've spent the last couple of months with a group of young people in most instances. Sometimes very, very young people. Going through a program which is extremely, extremely challenging. Because it doesn't allow you to be anything but busy. It doesn't allow you to be anything but consistently doing. And there's never, ever any type of a deficiency or to be done. A program which gets to a point where you have to readily admit that it is impossible to do everything. But what you have to do, that is the fire that me and this group of persons face on a day-to-day basis. For me, what should I do? Just gotta run at it. You gotta face the fear. There's a possibility of failure. There's a possibility of not getting it done. There's a possibility that you won't get the things that you have done correct, but you have to go at it. You have to look the issue dead in the eye. You just have to keep going. There are moments when you want to scream, you want to cry, you want to run away, you want to run headlong in a wall, you want to do any manner of evil as a means of extricating yourself of the pain and the suffering and the anxiety, but that doesn't achieve the ends to which you initially set out to achieve. It doesn't. So you embrace your vulnerability because you don't know all, you can't do all, you need support, you need mentoring, you need help, you need the support of others. You need to have around you a group of people who embrace the idea of Ubuntu, where I am, because we are, and that would be great, because it makes life better. But it demands you to admit to your fears, admit to your weaknesses, and then face them. And in this process, because you're going through the fire, if you think about it, just close your eyes for a second and think about you walking through a literal where the flames engulf you all around you. You can't see anything. In front of you, beside you, on top of you, below you is just fire. If you are going to make any headway to this circumstance, it's an analogy, it wouldn't happen in real terms, but work with me. But if you're going to make some headway through this circumstance, you need to start think like you are ice. And you have to become a special type of ice. You have to become an ice that's regenerating itself faster than the heat can melt you. You have to be thinking cool thoughts, cold thoughts, trembling thoughts, like North Pole type of thoughts, glacier type of thoughts. Big portion of you out of the water, more significant portion of you under the water, all solid ice, well below 0 degrees. So you have to become an individual who comes to a place where you find the ability, you have the ability to think positively. Some persons dismiss that and say, oh, that's mumbo jumbo, that does no good. What it is for me to think about this in a positive way when the realities are as I face it. I'm not saying that you mustn't be real with yourself. But being real is just simply acknowledging that what you have before you is really what's there. And that's cool, because if you're going to confront it, you must properly define it, and therefore you must accept what it is. So thinking positively is not saying, hey, it's going to be gone. Oh, it's not there. It's a mirage. No, it's there. The fire is there. But thinking positively is the opposite of I'm going to burn to death in this. This is going to turn me into a crisp. There's absolutely no way I can come out on the other side. And you flip that and you say, this is going to cause me some discomfort, but it's not going to burn me. This is going to cause me some discomfort, but when I come out on the other side, I am going to be stronger. This is going to cause me some discomfort. I am going to be burned. I'm going to be scarred. I'm going to be better. This is going to burn me down a couple of inches. I'm going to be smaller. I'm going to be lesser, but I'm going to be more purified. A more effective, a more efficient, a more clinical version of myself. A better version, superior version, a greater version than the one that went into the flames. Because when I come out on the other side, I'm simply preparing myself to take a little bit of a breather, because there's going to be some other flames, some other fire. So we go back to where we started. We ask, which are the choices you're going to make? Which are the two? Are you going to allow yourself to be burnt to a crisp and withered away? Or are you going to allow yourself to be purified and forged into a stronger, better, greater version of yourself? Which one do you choose? You listen to the essentials. You're listening to the reset. We want you to recondition, reframe, realign, refocus your mind. Because we understand and we appreciate that, yes, there are going to be challenging moments. But yes, also, we are convinced, we are highly convinced that once the decision has been made, that we have the ability to walk through the fires of our lives and to come out on the other side a better version. We don't want you to move. We want you to call somebody, come to the radio, especially if you have young children around you. Bring them close. Let them have a listen. Because this, my friend, is the essentials of life. If we don't deal with the issues that we have before us, they are going to remain before us. And as long as we continue to do that, we will never, ever get to the place where we are, where we become, where we accrue unto ourselves a better version of our greater potential. You listen to the essentials. You take a break here. Don't move. Come right back.
Boy, you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. Oh no, there's something inside. So
Next Level Solutions.
Next Level Solutions.
Solutions.
At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance and operational challenges, maximize their performance and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
All my women, you know, my strong women. So amazing how this world was made. I wonder if God is a woman. The gift of life astounds me to this day. I give it up for the woman. She's the constant wind that fills my sail, oh, that woman. a smile and a style. She'll protect you like a child. That's a woman. She'll put a smile upon her face and take you to the higher place. So don't you underestimate strength of a woman. Morning, I gotta put a scent of a woman. Just picture if you would what life would be. Ain't much good without a woman. She can nag and be a constant pain. Oh, that's woman. Those hips, she's got me whipped, and it's just too hard to resist. What a woman. Hey, she'll put a smile upon her face and take you to the higher place. So don't you underestimate strength of a woman.
The strength of a woman. So we celebrate with the women, all the women, women in our lives, women all across the globe. International Women's Day. We're a little bit late, but you know, the show is when the show is. And certainly we can agree that the impact of women on life in general, certainly that's the start of life for all of us. But the impact of the woman on human existence, human development, the catering, the nurturing, the caring, the development, oftentimes filling the gap for those who would renege on their responsibilities. You know, it just goes without saying. You just certainly cannot overstate the contribution of women to society. Unfortunately, in many instances, they are not given the respect due. They're not given the rewards due because for the most part, we remain an uber patriarchal type of society. But it's changing. It's changed significantly. And so we continue to celebrate that. We continue to advocate for that, and we continue to support any effort which moves the woman from where she was, where she is now, and to a righter place or rightful place in our human existence. We are talking about forging a better you by going through the fires of your life. You're going to do that. If we reflect back on women and, you know, suffrage, universal suffrage was a time when women couldn't vote, women didn't have rights, women were chattel, and they fought through that. Many fought, gave their lives up, suffered. And here we are today. In many instances, we take these things for granted. So how are we going to exercise this choice we have, this sovereignty we have to make a choice whether we go left or we go right? Are you going to allow yourself to be burned by your fires of your life? Or are you going to cause yourself to become purified and forge into something much stronger, significantly more? From my book, Think, Act, Grow, I have a short passage which deals with this particular issue, the same topic, in a slightly different way, but certainly well aligned with our discussion. And it starts out by using a quote which says, in the midst of the fire, purity can be achieved. Do not simply suffer through life. Use each moment as an opportunity for growth. And I think that is important. It's important from the point of view that, look, things are going to happen. And one of the choices is, am I going to grow from this moment or am I going to suffer? And the idea of suffering through life is recognizing that once you get through this episode, there's something else which is going to come. And so you can move from either one suffering to the next, or you can move from one opportunity for growth to the other. It's your choice. Same exact thing, same set of circumstances, all depend on how you want to view it. A cause, a circumstance for suffering, or challenging circumstances from which I can grow. And you can choose to do that. There are some questions that you may want to ask yourself as you traverse these episodes of life. And as you celebrate the successes, as you realize the breakthroughs, you still are going to ask yourself these questions because you are now operating at another level. If you think about it like this, if you climb in a ladder, every single rung on that ladder represents a challenge to be overcome. And ultimately at the top is where you're seeking to reach. But when you get there, it's simply an opportunity to climb another one. And so if you envision yourself climbing skyscrapers indefinitely, you just move from one to the next to the next. So every time you complete a total climb, you're now able to climb another one. The difference is that each point you're getting better, you're going higher, you're seeing more, you're doing more. That's kind of what life is about, really. And many of us have been socialized, we have been taught to, you know, don't look for more, satisfy with what you have, but that's not the human spirit. I'm not arguing for you to embrace avarice and, you know, be, as we would say in Jamaica, be red-eyed, so you become jealous of everything that everybody is, and you just want too much, and you cannot be, you cannot appreciate what it is that you have in the moment. Being able to appreciate what you have now, being able to satisfy with what you have in this moment doesn't mean that you don't have a desire for more and that you shouldn't go for more. If you make the decision that, well, this is it for me, then that's fine. But we argue for not limiting yourself. Because if you find yourself in a place where you figure, well, you know, $100 will be fine for me for the rest of my life, I will be comfortable. I would ask you the question, why can't you go for $200 if you have the capacity to do so and give it away? Because there are some persons who can't get from zero to one, but you have the potential, you have the momentum, you have the capacity and the capability to move from 100 to two. Why not leverage that for the benefit of humanity? And this is where we move from a life of selfishness to a life of supporting each other. This is where Ubuntu becomes real, becomes a way of living, becomes a way of being. So in this process, we ask ourselves some questions. So we look back at the various challenges that we have gone through, and we ask ourselves, in retrospect, were our fires valuable? Did the time you get fired, what did you learn from that? Did the missed opportunity you get when you started to go into business and you just run the business into the ground because you didn't understand, you didn't take any learning or any guidance, was that valuable for you? Did the missed opportunity, the one that passed you because you refuse to read, you refuse to study, you refuse to discuss, you refuse to build relationship, have you learned anything from that? Or are you just being fuel for fires and they're not being valuable to you in any way, shape, or form? So you want to consistently ask yourself, I've just been through that thing. I've just suffered. I've just gone through a very uncomfortable moment. I'm coming out on the other side. Was it valuable? Did I use the flame, or the flame just extinguished themselves and left me as I was, or worse than I was before? Is the fire valuable? What did you gain? What did you gain having gone through that? Let's put it in real raw terms. So you have suffered. What did you suffer for? What did you endure the pain for? What do you have to show from this episode of your life? And it may not be something physical. Oftentimes, it is not physical. It is not tangible. Oftentimes, other persons can't even see it. But you know whether or not you got something from this moment or you didn't. Did you develop greater confidence in self? Did you learn something about yourself? Did you realize that your effort isn't enough? Have you come to appreciate that when you do more, when you give more, when you apply yourself more, when you kind of live in the direction of the things that you want, they actually do happen faster, better? Having gone through a moment, do you appreciate the need to surround yourself with people, to support some persons, to have individuals that share your ideas, that share your goals, that move in the direction of your thinking? So what did you gain from it? Do you practice looking for positive in painful situations? We talked about that earlier, this positive thinking. Do you practice? Do you actively practice? And this is something which I have learned to do over time, to not succumb to the impulse to label the thing as negative. I think it's maybe natural to do that. But I've learned to walk away from that type of a thinking. To actively ask myself, what is there in this for me to learn? What is there in this which I can turn into a positive? What is there in this which makes this situation, which makes this circumstance different from I initially perceive it in the first instance? So I see fire, or I'm now seeing an opportunity to forge myself, to become purified, become better, to become stronger, to become greater, to become a more patient individual, to become kinder, to become an individual who better understand and can empathize with other persons, to understand that going through the fire creates a story, a moment of experience which I can share with others and guide them away from sometimes unnecessary flames, because all flames are not good. Yep. So have I done that? Are we practicing to look for the positives in these painful moments? And they always are going to be some big, some bigger, some humongous. There's always going to be something there. How do you look for the positive? Because the more you can train your mind to not default to the doom and gloom and the sky's falling and everything is going to hell in a basket, the more you can get to that place where that initial impulse to think in that direction can be controlled, can be marshaled, and can be turned. turn on its head to say, let me start to actively look for opportunities, the better your life is going to be. In the first instance, it takes away the anxiety. I met someone recently that describes it like this, the moment when your chest starts to get tight. If you follow track and field, if you are an athlete, you understand that tightness isn't good. You want to be relaxed. You want to have the muscles at their leakiest. You want to be able to flow, be fluid. So when your chest starts to get tight, when you start to develop that anxiety, it's not going to be good. And your thinking drives that anxiety or otherwise. So if you can train yourself, if we can train ourselves to think differently, to do differently, to appreciate the circumstances differently, we are creating value for self in the first instance. We are preparing ourselves, we are putting ourselves in a better position to walk through that fire. Because all of a sudden, the heat is no longer as hot. All of a sudden, the possibilities of coming out on the other side is greater. It's doable. It's achievable. So we want to be doing that. We want to be using our obstacles to create opportunities. Definitely. So you lost your job. You didn't get a promotion. You didn't get as much bonus as you thought you would. All of these come down to financial circumstances, generally speaking. So what are you going to do? Well, if you lost your job, maybe you want to embrace entrepreneurship. Maybe you want to go out and put yourself in a position to be more marketable and to secure a better job, to change careers, to do something that you wanted to do for the longest while. Or you didn't get a promotion. What is it? Do you need a moment of introspection, of reflection to really understand and truly admit what is your level of performance? And if you determine that you're good, you're doing well, it's simply the persons around you who are not appreciating your contribution, then you now need to start thinking, where else can this appreciation come from? I need to move. I need to change my environment. I need to be in a place where persons can appreciate me for me, can appreciate the value that I bring. So you're looking at the opportunities. And that bonus which you didn't get, which you planned to, you know, you were going to Miami in the first instance, you was going to buy some stuff, or you were going down to South America, you were going on one of those long cruise, you were just basically going to blow it. You and the boys was going to hit South Beach and you plan on blowing this, but you can't do it anymore. It's not possible. And then you start to realize, well, you know, I would have still liked to do that, but it didn't kill me. Maybe if I moderate how I do things in life, I still can afford to do some of these very same things, because guess what? When I did not have that increased money that I had planned for, I made adjustments to my budget. I made adjustment to my spending. I became a little bit more careful. I became a little bit more frugal. Life was good. I actually have a little bit more in my savings account. So I created some opportunities through my thinking, through my adjustment, out of a negative circumstance. And that caused me to become a better person. Now, when that big next bonus comes, all of a sudden, you are now thinking differently. How can I leverage this? How can I invest this? How can I use this in a positive way? I'm still going to do a little bit of vacation thing, but I don't need to be that ostentatious. I don't need to be that extravagant. I don't need to do something which is going to be celebrated by the boss or celebrated by the girls. I'm going to do it in a lesser way, with maybe a tighter group of people who fully appreciate it whatsoever it is. You see the difference? Opportunities. More frugal, more economically viable as an individual, and developing greater quality relationship. Just out of the one moment of not getting to the bonus you thought you would have gotten. Just for hell's sake, you decide to flip that on its head and look for what else could come out of this. And out of that becomes an almost new you, an individual where you re-emerge to the world. You see the world in a different light because you now learn some things about you and you understand that you have deeper capability, deeper capacity to do certain things. One of the questions I would ask persons to ask themselves, and I ask myself this all the time, how have you become more valuable as a result of the negative episodes of your life? How? How have you become more valuable? Did the negative episode of your life depreciate you, knock you down, break you to pieces, make you a lesser person, or it created a better you? So you read more, you study more, you're more careful, you're more aware, you have now started your business is growing, you're making more money, you're helping more persons, you have become a better father, a better mother, you have greater relationships, you have better relationships, you have learned how to become a better leader because of how other leaders they have treated you negatively. How have the negative episodes of your life caused you to become more valuable? And then you want to ask yourself, finally, are you suffering through life with nothing to gain from the experiences? Are you suffering through life? A little bit like the one we asked earlier, but with a twist. Are you, this one is continuing, are you suffering? First instance, you look back and say, what did I gain from that? Am I just simply suffering? But are you? Are you continuing to do this? Because at some point in time, you have to make a decision. We all have to make a decision to break whatsoever cycle is not positive in our lives. Whatsoever cycle does not benefit us, does not take us further, does not cause us to be more, give us the ability to do more, give us the ability to be better. We have to break that because until and unless that is broken, the same old will persist. The same old will prevail. You will not become this new person you desire to be if you desire to be a new person. And so that's what we are saying this evening, that even in the midst of the things which are happening out there in the world, economic development, you're looking for a better job. We're discussing issues of, you know, better wages, better salary, livable wages, gas prices going up, you know, upheaval in Haiti. Things happening across the Caribbean, things up. Even in the midst of this, where all of us have some level of uncertainty, we've sent our kids off to university. What are they going to do? What are they going to become? Yes, some of us know that our kids are very disciplined. Some of us are less disciplined kids. We kind of know the portion. Some of us have greater uncertainty, but you just don't know for sure. You don't see them every day. But you make the argument. You make the argument to self that I'm going to consistently work. I'm going to work on myself. I'm going to work with those around me. And I'm going to live in such a way that in the midst of the fire, I'm going to seek purity. I'm going to seek to achieve more. I'm going to seek to not simply suffer through life, but I'm going to use each and every single moment, every one of these moments, I'm going to use to create an opportunity for growth. And I think if we do that, If you and I do that, if we all do that, and in the process, make sure that we're helping somebody along, I think life is going to be that much better. We're going to live in more beautiful society. We're going to live in more cohesive or operate in more cohesive institution. We are going to have a better country, a better region, and a better world if we do that. I really believe that. We're going to take our next break here, and when we come back, we're going to continue to have this conversation. Simply asking the question. I don't know the answers. You do. If you want to join in on the conversation, there's still opportunity to call in at 323-6232. 325-4259, 325-4316. The decision is yours. You have to go through the fire. The question is, are you going to allow yourself to be burned for Christ? Or are you going to allow or cause the fire to purify you, to forge you into something stronger, better, greater? Don't move. Come right back.
Inside your heart, you don't have to be afraid of what you are.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance and operational challenges, maximize their performance and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful. But that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's Funeral Industry Partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
The views and opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
And you know you can survive. So when you feel like hope is gone, look inside you. Strong, and you'll finally see the truth that a hero lies in you. It's a long road, and you face the world alone. No one reaches out ahead for you. So when you feel like hope is gone,
essentials to the reset movement by telling us about the hero that we have inside our souls. And basically, in a way, you know, what we're discussing here is analogous to that, because it's really about understanding what lies within us and accepting it. And if we don't believe that it's there, to do some work to make sure that it gets there. It's always in. We always never, ever really, we're not building from zero. Maybe dormant, unexplored, but there's always something there for us to build on. And that's the whole idea. We are going to be fire strong and fired into courageousness, fired into audaciousness, fired into a state of fearlessness. We're going to have to do that. Now, I am not proposing to you that you are going to do any of these things and suddenly overnight become, you know, rich and famous and anything like that. No, absolutely not. You, just like I, we may just live a life of getting by and doing it with reasonable, unreasonable, humble terms. But that's fine. That is not the argument here. That is not the objective. The issue is, are we going to live our lives in such a way where we are always maximizing or seeking to maximize our potential? Whether or not we fully achieve it at the end of the day, you know, a lot of that sometimes is up to circumstance, a lot of time up to a little bit of luck here and there, a roll of the dice. Any number of things can happen. But at the end of the day, when you sit back and you ask yourself, did I give myself a real chance? If the answer is no, then, you know, you will ask yourself, why? But you want to be in a position to say yes, as best as you can. Well, I could have done better, but I did give it a good shot. I missed that one, but that one I did kill it. And that's where we want to be. That's what we're talking about, forging ourselves and strengthening our minds and strengthening our ability and growing as individuals, becoming better every step of the way. So we talked earlier about embracing vulnerability, admitting that we have fears, that we face those fears, and as a result of that, we are going to think positively and kind of allow ourselves to take the circumstance and flip them on their heads and make a change. And by doing that, I spoke to the fact that we reduce our stress, we manage the anxiety when that just gets tight. Most of you, certainly in the Bahamas, will remember that 4x4 relay when the Bahamas had the Golden Knights. The United States thought they were going to walk away with this many, many times. Quite often, the United States is the winner of the 4x4 at the Olympics. On this particular day, it was not to be. Because one man, the Bahamas runner on anchor, decide, I am going to catch you. And as gallant as his effort was, and as much as we want to celebrate him, and we should celebrate him, we have celebrated him. The runner from the United States helped him, contributed to the Bahamas success by doing one very, very important, critical, and fatal thing. Once he realized or he heard the steps very close behind him, yes, he was under pressure, yes, he was tiring, but he also panicked and he got tight and it was over. So the ability to manage stress, to manage that anxiety, is significant to success. it could rob you. You could literally have your hand on the gold medal and lose it as a result of not being able to manage that anxiety. And then the next thing you have to do is to demonstrate courage. We can go back to that very, very same example, that very same race. Demonstrate courage. So you are behind 5 meters and you have a man to catch. And the finish line is coming fast and furious. You have limited space in which to catch him. The silver medal is yours. You know that it is yours. There's nobody even close to you in third place. Do you relax? Or do you demonstrate courage? Do you show the world that you believe you have the ability to win gold? So in those moments when you are under pressure, in those moments when you are challenged, in those moments when you are called on to be brave and courageous, you have to do it. You have to step out. You have to demonstrate it. Because in many ways, those moments underline your credibility. You may not believe that other persons are what. You may not believe that other persons use those moments as measures of exactly who you are, who you say you were, who you project yourself to be. So cowering in those moments is not going to be helpful. You have to demonstrate courage. You have to be willing to take on the risk in the moment, to jump higher, to jump further, to jump over the edge, to do whatsoever it takes to achieve your goals ethically, morally, legally. But demonstrate courage. Don't be afraid to dissent. Don't be afraid to knock heads or butt heads respectfully and sensitively with a popular guy in the room. Don't be afraid to take on the individual who is the big opinion leader that everyone else will follow. You don't agree with that individual. You don't see things that way. You're convinced that the individual is wrong, but you remain silent because you're afraid. You're not willing to demonstrate courage. You're not willing to step out in the middle of the crowd and let your voice be heard, let your opinion be shared because you are afraid you're going to get slapped on the side of your head. Yeah. Chances are, from experience, you're going to get slapped on the side of your head anyway. Might as well be courageous in the moment and do it in such a way that it brings value to others, that it brings value to the circumstance. And if nothing else, you become an opportunity to shine a light so that others may at least see differently or be willing to contemplate differently, whatsoever it is. But you have to demonstrate courage. You have to be willing to part with the meager resource you have for a chance to grow some more, to have more. You have to be willing to step out of your comfort zone, to leave your home, to leave your shores, to go to the place where you may be going to be uncomfortable. You have to be willing to do things which requires strength, requires courage, requires bravery, requires resilience. You have to do that, and you have to do that consistently. Because the more you do, the greater you're going to become, the more you're going to achieve. Not necessarily in material things, but intangibly. You're going to be a better person. I guarantee you that. You're going to be a better person. And as you go along in all of this, you have to learn to cope with risk and uncertainty. Nothing is guaranteed. They say the only thing that is certain is that something is going to change. Be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Be comfortable with adjusting, responding, not reacting all the time. Sometimes you have to react, but respond. Be strategic in responding to change. Put yourself in a position to be able to cope with the risk. One of the big words which we have heard in the Bahamas over the last couple of years, last 3 years or so, and even before, is resilience. Resilience. We've heard it said for not just for the Bahamas, you know, right across the Caribbean, right across the world. We are a resilient people. Oftentimes incorrectly used. Oftentimes, what it describes is that you are a long-suffering individual. You have absolutely no resilience at all. Know why? Because the last time you went through that challenge, it knocked you down. The challenge before that knocked you down. The one before knocked you down. And every single one that comes after is simply knocking you down further and further. If you were a resilient individual, if I am a resilient individual, I'm developing capacity to better cope with the next one. Until and unless we start to understand and appreciate that, until and unless we put ourselves in a position, the fires that we go through are just simply burning bits and pieces of us, bit by bit, depreciating us over time. We have to develop the capacity to cope with the fire. We have to develop the capacity to deal with uncertainty, to deal with risk, to deal with the vulnerabilities, to deal with the disasters when they come. So that when they're over, we can continue to move on. Maybe we have taken a couple of steps back, but we are not totally wiped out. We are better, we are stronger. If you remember, many persons may remember this, one of the big cries during the COVID pandemic is that many persons would say, how am I coming out of this pandemic? How am I coming out of this crisis? Am I going to come out stronger? Or am I going to come out weaker? I wonder how much of us can reflect and look back and actually say, yes, as a result of embracing the change, embracing the uncertainty, embracing the risk, and doing the things that we wanted to do, demonstrating courage, managing our stress, thinking positively, facing up to our fears, admitting to our fears, embracing our vulnerability, we are better. But we're still close to the moment. It's just a couple of days ago. Can we truly say that? Can we truly say? Well, if you can't, it's no better time to start than now. Because the next one is coming. It's not necessarily going to be a pandemic. It's not necessarily going to be a global financial crisis, but there's some upheaval coming in your life. And as we speak, many of us are going through our other episode of upheaval. Even at the height of the pandemic, we were going through sometimes multiple sources of upheaval. It's going to come. It's going to happen. It's going to happen at a personal level, institutional level, community level, country level, regionally. It's going to happen. As night follows, something else is coming. The question is, are you ready? Am I ready? What am I doing to be ready? What are you doing to be ready? How are you using the flames of today to make you stronger to deal with the ones which come tomorrow? Because sometimes the flame gets exchanged for something else. It's no longer a burning. This time, next time you may be freezing. Next time you may be soaked to your bones. Next time you simply may be starving. Next time, you may simply be in a position where you have so much opportunity, so much good luck, if you want to call it that, but you're unprepared to manage it. How are you preparing? Well, I think preparation comes by making a commitment to continuous learning. We just have to keep on learning. And so everything I've said up to now really can be distilled into that one single word, learn or learning. Every single human being, every single person, I believe, no matter what your level of education, should humble themselves to becoming students. The utility of being able to read and write in this world is huge, it's significant. So if you can't read and write, then yes, you should go learn to read and write. But I'm not really simply talking about learning as in school. That's part of the process because it's necessary. But we have to consistently learn how to deal with life, how to build better relationships, how to traverse different cultures, how to become better leader, how to deal with conflict, how to manage our finances, how to approach business, how to help others, learn how to coach other persons. We have to sometime learn how to become advisors, how to become counselors, how to become mentors. We have to be committed to learning to become leaders of a different class of people. The new generation, they call them X, Y, Z, Z. The persons who someone said recently, well, you know, Gen Z people, I don't have to worry about wearing a watch because come X time, they're gone. How do you manage these individuals when the expectations are different? When we have significant overlap between generations, when the traditional way life looks, like when I was growing up, our grandmothers were grandmothers. Ain't none of them in a club. Well, where I grew up, we didn't have no clubs. But even if there was a club, the possibility of seeing a grandmother in a club with a daughter and a granddaughter, you can't make the difference between the three. And same way on the father's side, the son, the grandson and the father, maybe just a little bit of splashes of gray here or there, you can't tell the difference of who is the father and who is not. Those possibilities weren't there. We live in a totally different. We live in an environment where persons no longer anticipate that they're coming to work with you, to stay with you until you become uberly rich and they get a golden watch to go home at 65. That's going to happen. How do we transition in this environment? How do national leaders, for example, fulfill their responsibility when the demand is greater? Back in the day, it was just get me a job, give me a couple of dollars, get an opportunity for my son or for my daughter. But absolutely not. I want to go out and conquer the world, and you have a role to play in this. You need to give me better school, give me better education, give me greater opportunity, free me to do things. How do you operate in that sphere? Those are fires which are operating at different level, and all of these come down to our willingness to learn, to continuously grow and develop. Some of the greatest leaders are those who deliberately and intentionally put themselves in areas and opportunities for learning. Some of the best persons who achieve their greatest potential, do the same. So we have to do that. We have to learn how to adjust. We have to learn how to become better. We have to learn how to deal with the fires. And I think, therefore, as we have this discussion this evening and we ask a question, and I'm going to close by asking the question again, what are you doing with the fires of your life? Are you allowing them to burn you to a crisp? And then welcome the wind to blow you away like dust? Or are you going to cause them to purify and forge you into a better you? It's an important decision. Many persons are doing this unconsciously without even thinking about it. They are so motivated, so well-disciplined, ambitious, all of the good things. They just go about doing them. That's just who they are. And there are others of us who have to be way more deliberate, way more intentional, because things don't come that easy for us. The circumstances are different. Some of us are starting at the eight ball. Some of us are starting behind the eight ball. Some of us just have life set up just a little bit better. Greater opportunities, inherited relationships, inherited connections. Family, father, godmother, god this. Some persons have it better laid out. It's not questionable. And some persons have it a little bit rougher, sometimes significantly rougher, but it is not a bar. Challenge, yes, but not a bar to achieving the best you. There are many persons out there who have done it before. There are many persons out there who have caused this, caused their lives to be better, and as a result, change the lives of others. And we can do it. We're going to end the show here. We're going to play our closing song, The Higher You Build Your Barriers. So think about life. We're having this conversation with life. The higher you build your barriers, the greater I'm going to jump. The farther you take it away from me, the faster I am going to run. That's what I'm going to leave this evening. I want us to reflect on it because it's important. You've been listening to The Essentials. We always like to end by saying, do not allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. So if you're going through the fire or fires and you're being consistently burned, now is the moment. Now is the time to flip that on its head and start to think, how can I use this as an asset rather than have it as a liability in my life? All that's left to say is, one good, one love, be careful, live well. Ubuntu. Good night.
Away, the faster I will run. You can deny me, you can decide to turn your face away. No matter, 'cause there's something inside so strong. Know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong so wrong. Thought that my pride was gone, oh no. There's something inside so strong, whoa, whoa. Something inside so strong.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.